So thank you for joining this recorded call to look at the various federal programs that can assist business in today's pandemic environment. I'm John Bryant, the Vice President of Advocacy and Building Codes for BOMA International. And the first thing I'd like to say is that our department is working tirelessly to provide our members with the resources they need as they navigate the COVID-19 crisis. So for those of you that have not checked out our resources page, I strongly encourage you to go to www.boma.org/coronavirus. We've created numerous guides and checklists for building owners and managers going all the way back until late January. And our goal has really been twofold. One is to find the most valuable information that's available. And then two, find a better way to disseminate it in a way that's usable and digestible for our members. And we've done that for a lot of different coronavirus resources, but today we want to be a little bit more specific and talk about the federal stimulus bill known as the CARES Act. The CARES Act, or the third stimulus bill, as we're now into, is focused on business interests, but I want to be clear that it's not a real estate bill. So there's a lot of provisions that can help real estate, which is important, but right now most of the programs that we're focused on are geared towards our tenants. We expect there's going to be additional bills in the near future, and we just heard today that the Senate may convene as early as this week to help shore up a lot of the programs that we're going to identify in the next couple of minutes. Whether or not that happens, we do anticipate that Congress is going to be coming back April 18th to look at the next round of stimulus bills, probably 4 and 5. There's a lot of conjecture of what those stimulus bills are going to look like. We don't have a firm understanding as of yet, but we do believe that a lot of the programs that they've put in place that we're going to go over are probably going to need additional funds and monies in order to keep them current. So I would imagine that Congress is going to look at the original programs that they put out and do everything they can to make sure that those original programs are operating to the best point available. Now I'd like to turn this rest of the presentation over to Emily Naden. Emily is our Director of Federal Affairs, and above that, she is our tax and finance guru. And so as we've been working on this particular issue for a couple of weeks now, Emily's really taken point. So I want to congratulate her and thank her for putting the information together. And for the next 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to have her just go over each one of the individual sections within the bill. In case you have any questions, it also complements a two-page guide that we had recently put out. So I think both of these resources together should point you in the right direction for all of your needs looking at the federal stimulus bill. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Emily Naden. Emily?
Thank you, John. So one of the first few things we're going to cover in terms of categories is specifically to real estate interest and businesses. One of the interesting things and one of the great things actually to come out of the CARES Act was the fix for qualified improvement property, QIP. This is a big issue for commercial real estate. QIP was formerly referred to as leasehold improvements. BOMA worked on that issue tirelessly for 10 years. We got it down to 15-year depreciation, and then an error in the 2017 tax law, unfortunately, reverted us back to a 39-year depreciation period. However, per the 2017 tax law intent, now all your QIP or your leasehold improvements can be expensed 100% in the year they are done. This immediate full expensing goes through 2022 and will be retroactive, or is retroactive, back to 2018 and 2019. So if you use the correct depreciation period for those years of 39, you can go back, amend your returns, and basically get a refund on it. After 2022, we'll revert to a 15-year depreciation period. And what this does is, this is not specifically COVID related. This was an error that, once fixed, will help us, our buildings, basically bring the building trades back in and put them back to work. What this will also do is allow our buildings and our tenants to pivot to what the new normal after coronavirus has dissipated will look like. Will we need social distancing in the office? Will the way our office, you know, structure change? This will allow us to be more flexible and to pivot. So we'll do that, as well as get the building trades back into work. So this is a very exciting, exciting development to come out of the CARES Act for both commercial real estate, for retail, as well as restaurants. Next, something for everyone here. All employers can now enjoy putting off their share of the payroll tax for the next few months. Your employee and your employer usually share the Social Security tax owed on the wages. Those go into the Social Security fund, but they're allowing now that for the next 6 months that you can put that off. It will help you save some, keep credit on the side of, you know, being able to pay and actually use your that 12.5% towards your expenses. It'll get that money, keep that money into that into struggling businesses instead of paying those taxes out weekly or monthly as they often do. So this is a nice little break that'll help a lot of businesses just kind of float that extra 12.4%. Net operating loss. So this is an interesting one. This was also an issue in the 2017 tax law that we've now fixed. So if you have a business net operating loss, you can carry that back for 5 years, starting back 2018, 2019, and 2020. And previously, if you had that net operating loss, you could not, there was a limitation that you had to have still a net operating income to fully, you couldn't offset it. Now you can for this temporary period. So that's also very exciting. If you are at a business that tends to run on the loss side, you can use that to help you out. Employee retention. There is a provision in the CARES Act that will give employers a $5,000 refundable credit towards retaining employees. So if towards their salaries. So this credit is available per quarter and will cover wages up to 50% of a $10,000 wage per quarter. So depending on how much your employees make, that'll cover wages between March 12th, approximately when many businesses started to shutter due to social isolation and stay at home orders through the end of the year. I will note that most of the provisions in here go through the end of 2020. Qualified improvement property is a permanent fix. So the way you'll calculate if you qualify for this employee retention program is if your gross receipts for this quarter or the quarter affected are less than 50% of the gross receipts from the prior year. So if you are suffering a massive, massive downage in your workload or your income, then this is something that's going to help you keep those employees as opposed to putting them on the unemployment payroll. Business interest deduction. So this is a nice temporary provision, also on your tax side, that will allow you to increase the amount of the interest you can expense. It was previously 30, now it's increased to 50. You can deduct these from your taxable income for both last year and this year. So when you do your taxes in 2021 for the 2020 tax year, this will allow you to do that. This will kind of keep the liquidity back and reduce the cost of capital as people take out those loans and they need to keep themselves afloat. And probably the biggest element to come out of the CARES Act, the at least the most costly, about nearly $500 billion has been allocated to the Exchange Stabilization Fund. And what this is, it's an emergency lending to businesses, states, and cities through the Treasury Department. This will provide businesses who do not otherwise get other types of relief. For example, we'll talk about a lot of small business provisions in a few minutes, but other larger businesses can apply for loans of up to $10 million if you don't have any other type of relief. What this is important. It will basically make sure that there are lots of caveats to these loans. So if you don't get relief in other ways, these loans, you have to retain 90% of your employees. You cannot exchange in stock buybacks for the duration of the loan plus a year. And then they are traditional loans that will not be turned into grants at any time, unlike some of the smaller business provisions we'll talk about in just a moment. So this is the biggest program in the entire bill. It accounts for about a quarter of the spending. So this is for large companies. So those $10 million loans will hopefully keep even the big guys afloat during this difficult time. Now, we talked about a lot of provisions previously that'll affect some people and a lot of people. The small businesses and tenants coming up, all of our tenants, not all of them are small businesses, but if our guys lose their business, then they're not going to need space. So it's important to keep the small businesses and our tenants afloat during this difficult time. Small businesses generally range from 50 to 500 employees. A lot of these provisions have been extended to places that have under 50 employees, including sole proprietors, as well as the gig economy folks that some of you guys might have in your workspaces. So let's talk about the big guy first. The number one program to come out of it is the Paycheck Protection Program. And what this does is it provides small businesses with funds to pay up to 8 weeks of payroll. Now, it will also allow for the portion of the loan that is given that goes to things like payroll will be forgiven as long as it is done for the correct reasons. And the remainder of the loan that doesn't go to payroll will remain at the interest that, you know, you take it at it. The funds can be used to pay mortgages, rent, utilities. You can qualify for a loan up to $10 million. And the loan amount will be determined by your average payroll plus an additional 25% to basically account for payroll plus benefits plus other things. Forgiveness will be reduced if your full-time headcount declines or if you decrease salary and wages. So that's an incentive for you to not only maintain your number of full-time employees, but to maintain their current pay levels. Now, this is a very popular program, so we would encourage you to apply as quickly as possible since there is a funding cap. The important dates to note are April 3rd, which is actually last week. Small businesses can apply and sole proprietorships, and as of the 10th, independent contractors and self-employed individuals. That's coming this week as well. So some important dates to note to try and get in there. New and existing debt relief. This one, for anyone who already has an SBA loan or is looking into any type of SBA loans, $17 billion has been allocated for SBA to the Small Business Administration to pay for the principal and interest of new 7A loans issued prior to September 27th, 2020, so for a period of 6 months. Now, 7A loans are the Small Business Administration's primary program for financial assistance and allow up to $5 million in lending to small businesses. If you have an existing SBA loan, chances are you already have a 7A loan. Double check it, but those are the main driver of all their loans. The good news also is if you have a 7A loan, existing 7A loans will qualify for this 6 month of relief as well. And you can check out the SBA to make sure that your type of loan and that it still qualifies for this relief. But the good news is that both new and existing get 6 months of relief on the principal and interest. Economic injury disaster loans and loan advance. So this was an interesting program. The economic injury and disaster loans, or EIDLs, were a pre-existing program at the SBA. What this program did, it bolstered it by an additional $10 billion and created an advance portion. So if you apply for an economic injury disaster loan, you can also get an advance while you're waiting for your loan to come through of up to $10,000. And that $10,000 is actually supposed to come within 3 days. So it's an incredibly quick turnaround that the SBA is going to help maintain, keep businesses afloat, because they realize that every day really matters. So that loan advance will not have to be repaid, even as long as you use it on certain things like payroll, rent, or utilities, even if you are ultimately turned down for the larger economic injury disaster loan you apply for. So that's basically turns into a $10,000 grant as long as you use it for the correct purposes. So this is a really quick, helpful thing if you are struggling and you just need that bridge money to stay afloat. So some other important measures obviously came out of this $2 trillion package, and we're just going to hit on them right here because everyone likes to hear about them. So unemployment. Unfortunately, if you do become unemployed during this difficult time, states manage their own unemployment. They determine the percentage of your average weekly pay that gets paid out in unemployment. They determine the cap on that. Every state is different. Some states are more generous than others. But the provision in the CARES Act increases whatever your state was going to give you weekly by an additional $600. So if your state gives you 50% of your weekly pay, and that was $300, you will get $900 per week, up to 16 weeks on this new unemployment benefit regime. And hopefully this actually covers more workers than traditional unemployment. This makes sure that all workers, regardless of small, medium, or large, if you're self-employed or you're a gig economy worker, like a Lyft driver or delivery person, they are all 100% covered. They are qualified for unemployment and this additional $600 under this expanded program. And everyone wants to know about their individual stimulus checks. So the federal government is issuing individual stimulus checks for most Americans in the amount of $1,200 for individuals or $2,400 for married couples. And that is dependent not upon about how you filed jointly, plus an additional $500 per child that you have. Amounts start to decrease slightly if you go over $75,000 in income individually, or $150,000 for married couples, and completely go away once you hit $99,000 for an individual and $198,000 for married couples. That number is based on your gross income from your most recent tax filing in either 2019, and if you have not filed in 2019, for 2018. The Department of the Treasury is working very hard to get those checks out as soon as possible. So if you have ever supplied in the last few years the IRS with your direct deposit information or your bank account information to withdraw, then they have it and will send it to you hopefully as soon as possible. If you have not filed in a few years, or you are afraid for any reason that they don't have your account information, the IRS is working on a quick online form that you'll have to add your personal information in and your bank account information, and they will work on getting that to you. They are looking to paper checks as a last resort, because paper checks will force people to go into public in the banks and or are ripe for fraudulent errors. So those are the main highlights from the CARES Act, which is, as John said, the third installment of the federal stimulus response to the coronavirus. Some more places to look for up-to-date guidance. BOMA has a slew of resources at www.boma.org/advocacy and more on www.boma.org/coronavirus. As you mentioned, we have a two-pager that includes all the information I just talked about, and that has additional resources. All of the loan programs and grant programs I discussed can be found at the Small Business Administration, which is sba.gov, and more details can also be found at irs.gov and treasury.gov for more information on if you would qualify and how to parse through the many different programs that exist. I thank you for your time today, and we will post our information if you have any questions.